Lord a hand clap tonight. He is so good to us. We have so much to thank him for. Appreciate our up-and-coming choir for singing tonight. And even through the Mass, it came through. Wasn't a coincidence, you know, it was 3 years ago that we went through the fire, and so I believe it was Ash Wednesday, right, which is appropriate. We walked into a bunch of ashes on Wednesday, and was it Thursday night that we did it take us just one day? I think so. Yeah, we weren't able to have a service that night, obviously, but the next night, Brother Jude and just so many other brothers just rolled up their sleeves, and the Lord had prepared us for that, because we'd had meetings in outside venues many times, but that didn't mean it wasn't challenging. There's so much that has to take place, and yet the Lord made a way. And then the choir got up and sang that song, "You Made a Way." When there seemed to be no way and don't know how we were going to make it, but you made a way. And you look at this, this is the beauty that came forth from the ashes, made a way. The devil's not going to burn us out of here. Amen. God always has the last word. We have sitting in the office discussing a few things about tragedies and hardships in life, and how some people, it just molds them and shapes them, and it brings out a character as a result. And we know that, as Brother Ward quoted Romans 8:28 this morning, we know that all things work together, whether it was this morning or last night, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And we had a gas leak here. I'd completely lost my sense of smell for, it was over 10 years, I think. And when this message came across my path, and very first message that I heard, the Lord delivered me of something that that had me bound and restored my sense of smell. There was someone in that very same service that the Lord spoke to, but the Lord spoke to me too, and it came back with a vengeance. Don't eat Doritos in my car, or Fritos, or I have a very acute sense of smell now. So I smelled a gas leak for a couple of years, but I was the only one that smelled it. I would just get whiffs of it every now and then when I went out the door over here. And it turned out we had a pretty severe gas leak over here on the side of the building. The gas man, when he came, I believe he said that he actually attended this church when it was the Brethren or the Covenant or whatever it was, many, many years ago. Anyway, he quoted Romans 8:28 to us. Here's the gas man preaching to us that morning when we came in and things were charred and burned down, and here we are, we're ready to have our annual meetings. People had come from all over the country, up in Alaska and different places, and he was trying to console us and said, "Well, we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord." And it's, we believe that, Brother Branham said, when you're going through a trial, it seems like all hell breaks loose, everything's against you. He says, God's giving you a trial. Of course, we know God isn't actually causing the trial. He's allowing it. But he said he has confidence in you. Victory Day, Sierra Vista. He has confidence in you. He knows what he's placed in you. And he knows that you're going to persevere through it. And you're going to be better for it. And you're going to know him in a way that you didn't know him before. You're going to have a closer walk, and you're going to see him in your life. And so Brother Ward and I were discussing how some people, when this trials come across them. You know, some you see them go on and they're just stronger for it, and others fall apart, you know. We know it's the grace of God. He made a way, right? Because as they were singing this song tonight, you don't see a way through these things sometimes, right? And yet He makes a way. That's the God we serve tonight. Amen. Give Him another hand clap. Hallelujah. I believe that we're a stronger body, and we're a closer body, and God's getting glory out of it, and it's all for His purpose. I'm not asking to go through it again, but you know, you look back and you have to admit you're better for it, right? Praise the Lord. And we just, Lord, help us to see everything that way. He's not an abusive father or husband, right? Everything has its purpose. And if we just lean on Him and pull from Him, you know, there's no reason to be discouraged. In fact, it turns out to be a blessing, right? In what looks like a tragedy, it's really a blessing. But it all depends on how you look at it, right? Praise the Lord. So we're glad that you're all here tonight, and this third service, and we're so thankful to have our brother Ward with us again, and we're just going to invite him to come out and take his liberty and finish it off for us tonight. And do you love the Lord?
Yes.
So if I understand it right, Sister Leah, we were praying for your uncle, right? And he was supposed to die on Monday, and he's at home now walking around eating. That's the God we serve.
Yes.
Amen. So we'll invite our brother Daryl to come. I just want to be where you are. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be in your dwelling place forever. Lord, take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. Would you mind standing? I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory. That's where I always want to be. I just want to be with you. Oh my God. Oh my God. You are my strength and my song. When I'm in your presence, though I'm weak, you're always strong. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place. Hallelujah. I just want to be with want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory, for in your presence. I just want to be, yes, Lord, dwelling daily in your presence. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. That's our desire tonight. Amen. To be where he is. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We certainly enjoyed being here this weekend. And it seems like every time it starts, it ends way, way too fast. And yeah. We certainly enjoyed being here. And good to see everyone again. And we really appreciate your prayers. Praying for my family when we were afflicted several months ago. And we thank you for praying for us. And appreciate Brother Doug allowing us to come and be with you this February, and we appreciate and thank you for everything that was done for us, the room that was given for us to rest in, and the little snacks for us to eat, and the fellowship, and we thank you from the bottom of our heart, and may the Lord richly bless you for that, be our prayer, and I look forward to the time that we won't have to say goodbye no more. And
Amen.
We could all gather around Daddy's table, and we'll all be young. We'll all have hair. Woo! What a wonderful time. What a wonderful time that'll be. No matter what you have to go through with, friends, don't miss it. There is nothing in Tucson, Arizona worth missing heaven over. Just lay aside every weight, never feather. Let's get ready to go home.
Amen. Amen.
If you have your Bibles this evening, turn with us to the book of Luke. And I had actually planned to preach something else this evening, but at the red light up the road here, just as we turned, the Lord spoke this to my heart, and so we want to go this direction tonight, and we trust it to be a blessing to you. But I want to read from Luke chapter 12, verse 6. In verse 7, certainly enjoyed the singing. Wasn't it wonderful how music can create such an atmosphere? Amen. I get too emotional sometimes, I guess, but it seems like God squeezes a man's heart and the juice comes out his eyes. I found that to be true. Luke chapter 12, verse 6, the Bible says this. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? A two farthings equals about a half a cent. So five little birds for a half a cent. But the Bible says, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are more valuable than many sparrows.
Hallelujah.
Let's bow our heads. I want to speak to you for just a few minutes this evening on not forgotten.
Amen.
Heavenly Father,
Lord, we just want to thank you this evening. But Lord, sometimes thank you seems so inadequate. And yet, Lord, it's really the only way I know how to express it. So, Lord, maybe I don't have the right words to say, but listen to my heart, Lord. For truly I love you, Lord, and I want to thank you for sending Elijah to find me. I want to thank you for this precious message that's been given to us, Lord. I want to thank you, dear God, for the light that you've given us in this great time of darkness, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for the revelation that you've given us, Lord. That you have revealed that we was with you before there was a world. God, we thank you for these things. And Lord, we thank you for this assembly. And we ask, dear God, that your blessings would continue to be upon them. And Lord, I pray in this coming year that a revival fire would break out in every heart and in every home. And Lord, that there would be a great stirring once more in this great city of Tucson for where you've done great things for your people. We have not forgotten, Lord. And we pray, dear God, tonight as we come to the end of these meetings, may your word warm our hearts, God. And may you speak peace to those that would be nervous. And maybe those, dear God, that are maybe down in their spirit, may you come and lift them up tonight, Lord. And may we realize, dear God, that no matter what we face in this life, we do not face it alone. For you said, I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. Amen. And Lord, I have found that to be true, that in some of the darkest times of my life, I have found you by my side. Hallelujah. Bless your children tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Give me the right words to say, I pray. I surrender myself to you, Lord. We ask these blessings tonight in Jesus' name. And the bride says, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Amen. Oh my, think of that, friends. A sparrow, just a little bird that was so insignificant in man's eyes that five little birds is only worth a half a cent. And yet Jesus said there's not a one of them that is forgotten or neglected or uncared for by God. So then what does that tell us about this great God that we serve? It tells us that our God cares for the little things. Amen. Brother Branham tells a story of the king of England that was visiting Canada many years ago. And you know the story and how that they instructed the little children and they had gave them flags to wave and a song to sing to the king. And so when the great day come, they dismissed all the children and they were out on the streets, you know, to see the king come by. And so when the king passed by, they waved their flags and sang their songs to their king. Right. Mm-hmm. And when it was over and they went back to the classroom, the teacher got to looking and she noticed that a little girl was gone. And quickly she got someone to watch the children and she went out to find the little fella. And she found her by a lamppost. And she was kneeling down beside the lamppost and she was crying. And the teacher was startled. She said, honey, are you okay? She said, yes, ma'am. She said, has someone hurt you? Oh, no, ma'am, no one's hurt me. You know, honey, why are you crying? She said, did you see the king? Yes, ma'am, I saw him. Did you wave your flag? Oh, yes, ma'am, I waved it with everything that was in me. She said, well, did you sing the song that we practiced? Oh, I sang it with everything I had. She said, well, honey, if you saw the king and you waved your flag and you sang your song, why are you crying? He said, teacher, I'm crying because I saw the king. I sang my song. I waved my flag. She said, but I'm so little. said he couldn't see me. And I wanted him to see me sing, and I wanted him to see me wave my flag, but I was so little he couldn't see me. And the prophet said, that may be true for King George, but it's not true for King Jesus. Amen. He sees every little thing that we do. Oh my, he remembers. It's not forgotten. Jeremiah 2:2 says this, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem and say, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousal. And when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown, I remember you. Every little thing that you do, every effort that you make, every tear that you cry, every prayer that you pray, you are not forgotten. Does God see great big things that people do? Absolutely. There's no question about that. And sometimes we feel so insignificant that there's nothing that we can do because perhaps we don't have a lot of money or we don't have a great ability to sing or write songs as we see others do such great things, and somehow we feel so insignificant because we can't do that. Right. And yet, does God see big things? Absolutely. And yet, the smallest things that we do gets God's attention. Oh, that makes me so happy. Sometimes the smallest things, it reminds me of the poor widow woman who had just a little bit of coins. And she slipped into the treasury. And that day all the rich folk were passing by and just throwing in money. They had so much money they didn't even count it. Just what was in their pocket, they pitched it in the treasury and maybe went on and said, yeah, I can be there next Friday to build that building or maybe doing business and just run by the treasury and threw some money in. But here comes this little widow woman. Yeah. And her fingers was all arthritic from trying to sew to make a living. And perhaps she had one of them little change purses like my grandma used to have. Yeah. She come into the treasury. She opened it ever so carefully. Her hair was gray, perhaps in an old shawl that was wore out, wrapped around her shoulders. And she slips into the treasury, perhaps embarrassed because she didn't have a lot. Yeah. She opens up that change purse and ever so carefully pulls out the coins that she has, knowing it's everything that she's got. But it's so little compared to others that she feels embarrassed. And quickly she drops it into the treasury and takes the change purse and slips out. Perhaps nobody noticed that old lady. Perhaps they were too busy with their business to ever see her. But I tell you, oh, hallelujah, there was one sitting against the wall who saw that little woman. His name was Jesus. Amen. He sees every little thing that we do. Brother Branham said, last evening when I went out, a little woman was standing at the door. He said, I hope she's here tonight. He said, when I went through, she was standing there with a little baby. And it got to crying. And she wasn't a Christian, but she didn't want the message to be interfered with. So she took the baby and slipped out with it. And when I went out the door, she said, oh, how I would have loved to heard the end of that message. And something just said to me, this is of God. And I said, lady, are you a Christian? She said, no, sir. I hope to be sometime. Lovely looking little mother with a little baby in her arm. And I said, he's here. Don't put it off too long. And there we bowed our heads together there and prayed. And I asked God to take her soul. And at the end, when I got through praying, she said amen and began to wipe the tears from her eyes. Why? She wanted the message. Though if she didn't get it, maybe she had somebody else here to get it. And she wanted somebody else to get it. And what did it do? God cared. So he had her standing right here just exactly to receive it. That's it, he said. He cares. He knows how to work things just right. This woman wanted to hear the message, but she wanted others to hear the message. And if the baby was crying, she took it out so other people would have a chance to hear it. And because she did that, what we would consider such a little thing, it got God's attention. And had her standing by the door, that when the prophet passed through, she got what she was desiring, salvation. Why? Because we are not forgotten. Her unselfish act caught God's attention because she sees the littlest things Amen. Of our life. The Bible says in Psalms, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. I like that old song. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Amen. This is what the prophet said in the church age book. These things saith the faithful and true witness. I want to show you what I find in the thought of faithful. You know how often we talk about a great unchanging God whose word does not change. And when we speak of him after that manner, we often get a view of him that makes him seem very impersonal. Such a great big God. Here a while back, that comet that passed through the Neosum or something like that. Yes, that's it. Passed through every 6,500 years. Our God created it. Can you imagine? They said the last person to see that comet was Adam. 6,500 years later, here it comes again across the sky. I said, I thought to myself, I better get up and go see it. 6,500 years. So I got up one morning and went out and looked at it and got a picture of it. It was so beautiful. And our God created that. Such an awesome God that we serve. Amen. That a comet that passes every 6,500 years and God's got it all in control. Amen. Oh my. Amen. But because he's so great and so awesome, a lot of times people get a view of him as being impersonal. One without feeling or warmth or no connection. They're not connected to a God like that. And as though he would be out of touch with us. That he would be too busy to care that I'm nervous. He'd be too busy taking care of the universe and the stars and the planets and all the things that he does. That he would be too busy to be concerned about my job. Right. Or my children's homework. Or the mental state of my husband. Are you hearing me tonight? Right. Sometimes we get this view of God so great that he forgets about me and my problems. As though he would be out of touch. As though he would be too busy to care for us. It's as though God made the whole universe and all the laws that pertain to it and then stood back and became a great impersonal God. It's as though God made a way of salvation for lost mankind, and that way being the cross, and with the death of the cross has atoned for our sins, and his resurrection gave us an open door to him. God just folded his arms and stood back. People get this, that he used all of his compassion on the cross and there's none left for the Laodicea age. And God's run out of mercy and God's run out of compassion and he's run out of caring. He used all of his compassion on the cross and there's no more left for us. All the other ages received out of it and now he's run out. Or he's lost interest. It's if we majored in believing in a great creator, having created, lost personal interest in his creation. The prophet, now I say, that is how too many people are apt to think. Yeah. Especially in this age that we're living in. That's the way the majority of people think. Yeah. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you think that God don't love you and God don't care for you and God's too busy to take care of your affairs, I'm here to tell you tonight, that's wrong thinking. Yeah. The devil's lying to you. Yeah. Well, God don't love me. God don't care for me. He's not interested in my affairs. He's not concerned with what I'm dealing with. You're thinking wrong thoughts. You're listening to the enemy instead of the Creator. Put this on your refrigerator. He never created you to forget you. He never created us, JJ, to forget us. Oh, God. For God is governing the affairs of men right now. He is both creator and sustainer. Amen. A sustainer is someone who upholds or maintains. Our God is the sustainer of our lives. Amen. He created us and He sustains us. He keeps us in the... Oh, hallelujah. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know He watches over me. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. You were created for Him. Yes. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is a sovereign God by His own counsel. He purposed the plan of salvation of His own elect, which He foreknew. The Son died upon the cross to establish the means of salvation, and the Holy Spirit carefully executes the will of the Father. He is working all things at this moment according to the purpose of His own will. He is right in the midst of it all. Well, where is God in this corona pandemic? Where is God in this crisis? I'll tell you where He's at. He's right in the midst of us now. Amen. He's in the midst of His church, the great Savior, the great God. He's faithfully working. Hallelujah. He's working amongst His own right now. The great Shepherd of the sheep. His very existence is for His own. His very existence is for His own. He loves them and cares for them. His eye is ever upon them. Whew. A God so great, a God so busy, but I can't make a move but what my daddy sees it. Oh God, I don't make a Baptist shout. Think of that, friends. I'm not talking about the mayor of Tucson. I'm talking about the God of glory. Yeah. Yeah. The angels worship before His throne, yet He cares about you. Yeah. His very existence is for His own. He loves them and cares for them. His eye is ever upon them. Hallelujah. Well, if that's true, Brother Darrell, what about this virus? What about the economy? What about the quarantines? What about the people out of work? What about it? Yeah. Right. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know about any of it. But there's one thing I do know. It's working for our good. Everything that is happening in Arizona, it's happening for you. For God said, I will not lose a one. And, oh God, every one of us will be rapture ready when it's rapture time. And He knows how to get every one of us ready. So, though really, Henry, I may not understand, but sometimes He don't say, I want you to understand. But He does say, can you trust me? Can you trust me that what I'm doing is for your good? Why would He do such a thing? Why would He allow such a thing? Because He loves you. Brother Doug quoted it before we came out. Romans 8:28. All things work to the good. That's pandemics. Amen, Brother Dale. All things work to the good. Everything is orchestrated to bring the best out of His people. Amen. Huh? Has it been bad? Oh, it's been bad. I stayed more home in 2020. I was at home more than I have been in 30 years combined on the field. 18 or 19 meetings canceled last year. You say, oh my, that's so sad, but you know, I rather enjoyed it. I got to spend time with Cheryl and Jessica, and we worked out in the fields all day. Every night we had a bonfire. Every night we cooked at home, no eating out, and I kind of enjoyed it. Jessica said the other day, I wouldn't mind to have another 4 or 5 weeks. So what sometimes we think is a bad thing is actually working out for our good. Because since this thing has happened, people are praying more. People are getting closer to God. People are showing up to church that haven't been here for years. Brother Doug was telling me down here in Tucson that more people was looking on the internet when you all was down and was streaming your services. People were actually checking out the services that probably would have never came through those doors. Yet because of the pandemic, they got to looking, they got to searching, and all of a sudden they found you. An oasis in a desert. Brother Jack Duff was telling me down in Florida that he's baptized 4 people. Since the pandemic has hit. Brother Lindsey McGrady up in North Carolina was telling me a man who lives right across the street from his church, who had never darkened the door of his church, lived right across the street. Sent him a text and said, Brother Lindsey, I found your service online. I've repented of my sins, and when the church opens back up, I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and please pray that God will give me the Holy Ghost. Never darkened the door of the church, but because of the pandemic, he found the church across the street. Who can do that but God? Brother Wendell Martin down in Oklahoma was having drive-in church services. They pull in there with their cars and he's preaching outside, and he said, you know, if the people liked was what was being preached, they blew the horn. I said, well, if they don't like it, what do they do? Roll up the window? I don't know. Woo. But Brother Wendell was telling me that they were having these outdoor services, and every service, somebody come by and stop to listen. People that never come to church. And he said, this particular service, a woman shows up in the car, never been to church before, and she had macular degeneration. She was going blind in her eyes, and she pulled into the outdoor service, sitting in her car, and she testified that while they were singing and worshiping God, the Spirit of God moved upon that woman and instantly healed her of macular degeneration. Knows how to get a hold of his own. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter how chaotic it may seem, or how chaotic they try to make it seem, God has it all in control. For he is both creator and sustainer of this bride. When the word says your lives are hid in Christ in God, it means exactly what it says. I'm so glad that my God abides. He's faithful. He's true to himself. He won't lie. He's true to his word. He will back it up. He is true to us. He will lose none of us. But raise us up in the last day. I am so glad I am resting in his faithfulness. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day. Yeah. In other words, God don't make no junk. God don't start building something and then throw it away. No, sir. He never brought us this far to leave us. He never built a home and made it move away. Amen. He never picked me up to let me down. But my God will finish the work that he started in my life. Amen. Amen. Prophet said, I think of that glorious old song. He cares when sun's shining. He cares when the rain is falling. He cares when you're healthy. He cares when you're sick. He cares. Amen. He cares. He knows everything about you. You are not forgotten. Amen. Somebody, Brother Doug, somebody so insignificant as me. Somebody with the ministry, the least of the ministry among the brethren. And yet, even though my ministry may be the least, he still cares about me. Hallelujah. That's the name of the Lord. He's above all principalities and powers. The earth made him the lowest name that could be brought. God gave him the highest name that could be given. The earth put him as low as they could get him in a sinner's grave. But God raised him in the highest. Why? He's so high till he has to look down to see heaven. And his eye is on the sparrow. And I know he watches me. He watches you. He knows every thought that's in your mind. He knows every action that you make. He knows everything about you. Why would a God so great be so busy? A God so great and so busy, yet he would care about the very thoughts that I'm thinking. Why would he do that? I'll tell you why. Because he cares for you. Cast your cares upon him, the Bible says, for he cares for you. He cared for the leper. Think of it. When he was here on earth, a leper sitting there that nobody would touch him, had to walk down the street, had to holler, unclean, unclean. Yeah. Can you imagine going downtown and you had to tell everybody that you got leprosy? The humiliation, the disease afflicted your body. And here this poor man was out in the street begging for bread. Nobody would touch him. Nobody would show love to him. Nobody would show that they were concerned for him. Nobody cared about this man. He was wasting away. His very flesh was rotting while he was yet living. Laying out there on the street. Everybody's afraid to get around him. It's about the way I felt when I had the COVID. I'm afraid to get around him. He was an outcast. Away from society, an outcast from the city, an outcast from the church. Nobody would get around him. No one wanted nothing to do with him. He would beg for food. If they done anything, they would pitch him a piece of bread down into the dirt. They wouldn't even hand it to him. They wouldn't even get near him. They'd just throw it at his feet, and he would pull the bread out of the dirt because nobody wanted nothing to do with him. They wouldn't get near him. But Jesus, Jesus cared for him. He walked right down with him and sat down. The prophet said, I could just see him put his arm around him. Why did he do that? Because he cared for that man. When nothing else could care, he cared. When nobody else cared for that man, he cared. And when no one else cares for you, he cares for you. One day he was so weary, he sat on the rock and groaned with a headache because he was a man, and yet he was more than a man. He was God in flesh. And a funeral procession come by, and a little mother was weeping over her son, and she was crying, oh, Jehovah, why did you take my boy? Why did you take my boy? I don't know what I'm going to do. He cared for me. He brought the money into the house. How am I going to live? How am I going to take care? Oh, God, why did you take my son? She was wailing. She was beside herself. She was nervous. She was upset. Her world, as she had known it, had come to an end. A heartbroken woman. But Jesus sitting there, he saw that woman, and he was moved with compassion, and he stopped the funeral, and a man with a headache, he got up, went over to where the man lay, and raised the boy from the dead. Why? He understands. We know by his life that he cares. So cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. In your sorrow, he cares. When you lose loved ones, he cares. He cares for the dead. He cares for those who die in Christ. He cares for you. No matter how little you are, how insignificant you are, how poor you are, how indifferent you are, the color of your skin, it does not matter to him. He cares for you. You are not forgotten. We live in a society when the elderly people, when they live past a certain age, people lose interest in them. Nobody's got time to pay any attention to them, but God don't see it that way. I don't care if we're 8 or 80, He still cares. He still knocks at your heart's door. I got a call the other day from a sister who was telling me she had gotten away from the Lord. And while at work, hadn't been to church in years, she got a call from a man. She answered the phone and the man said, told her, he said, last night I was praying. Said the Lord spoke to me and said, call this number. And when the person answers, tell them this right here. And this woman answered the phone. And the man said, the Lord told me last night while I was praying to call this number. And he told me to tell you this. And she told me, she said, before the man ever quoted the scripture, I knew exactly what he was going to say because the Lord had gave it to me years ago. And the man began to quote her the word of God. And he said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea. I will help thee, yea. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. She hung up the phone. She said, I knelt right there, gave my heart to the Lord. Said, I turned around to the girls that was working with me. Said, no more dirty jokes. Get those pictures off the wall. We're cleaning house around here. Why would he do that, Brother Doug? Why would he put it up on a man's heart to call someone and tell them, tell this person this scripture? I'll tell you why. Because no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through with, he still cares for you. And every moment there is a time, there is an appointed time that God will come to you. Don't miss your day of visitation. No matter how far you've gone, no matter how many times you fail, he still knocks at your heart's door. Yes, you are not forgotten. Amen. Think of it. A sparrow, just a little bird so insignificant in man's eyes that five of them is only worth a half a cent. A man on the street, hey, you want five birds, half a cent? Tell you what, today only 15 for a penny. Five birds for a half a cent. That's how valuable they were to the man that was selling them. I'll let you have five. I'll let you have 15 for a penny. You want 15 today only for a penny. Insignificant that bird is in the eyes of the man who held it in the cage. And yet Jesus said that there's not a one of those little birds that is forgotten by God. A little insignificant bird, yet God cares for the little bird. Oh God, that just does my heart so good. Many times, Brother Doug, I've been around great men and I felt so insignificant. And yet God cares.
Yeah, good man.
No matter how little we may seem or how little we may feel in other people's eyes, God cares for us.
Amen.
He said, there's not one of them that is neglected or uncared for by my God. And you are more valuable than many sparrows. He thought I was worth saving.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Do you see your worth today? Do you see your worth as we come to the end of these meetings? Do you see how valuable you are to God? He thought I was worth saving. Amen. Worth. what you are worth in his eyes. You want to know how much you're worth? You want to know how something is worth? You want to know how much this is worth? The value of this book is based on how much somebody is willing to secure it. You want to know how much you're worth to God? Look at the price he paid for your fellowship. You want to know what God thinks about you? Look at the price. If you was the only one, come on somebody, if you was the only one lost, if you was the only one sick, he would have went to Calvary. He would have took every stripe upon his back for your healing. Because that's how much he cares for you. That's how much you're worth in his eyes. Amen. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Here a while back, I woke up one morning with a demon headache. I get them every now and then, older. It hurts so bad that sweat actually runs off of my face. I actually sweat. And I get so sick that I can only... I've had them many a time before I preach. I put one leg in my pants and sit back and just lay back on the bed till the room quit spinning. Lay there and then raise up and put the other on and come to the pulpit and preach. I've done it many a time. And I woke up and I had one of those. I call them demon headaches. They're migraine. Anybody ever had a migraine? You know what I'm talking about. I woke up. My head was hurting so bad. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't lay down. I had to get up. So I got up about 6 in the morning and I went downstairs. And I picked up my computer and I was sitting there and I opened it up and I tried to study. And I was hurting so bad, my head was busting, it was pounding. Every time my heart beat, it resounded in my head. I was sweating, I was so sick to my stomach. I thought, I've got to lay down. I think I'm going to pass out. So I closed my computer, and I laid down on the couch, and I began to pray. And I asked the Lord to help me. I was so sick, my head was hurting so bad. And while I was laying there, my phone went off. I got a text. It was from Brother Robert Fisher in Poland. I get a text from Poland. And this text, it was a video. And perhaps some of you saw the video. It was from a brother in Ireland who had recovered from COVID-19 virus. Maybe you saw the video. And he was saying that during his sickness, that one night, it was the worst night, he began to realize that he may die. I remember that night. It was night number 9 for me. I was shaking so bad I could not stop shaking. And I remember there in the floor and I was just shaking. And I said, God, live or die. My life is in your hands, Lord. I give myself to you. And so this man was saying it was the darkest time. It was my most sickest time. It was that night that I began to realize that I may die. The pressure to breathe was so great. I remember that. You go to take a breath in your lungs, they just won't expand. I got scared, Brother Baker. I'll be honest with you. I got scared because when I went to breathe, it wasn't there. That's what this man was talking about. He said to breathe, it was so hard to breathe. He said, I begin to realize the pressure to breathe was so great. I begin to realize, he said, I may have to go on a ventilator. And I didn't want to go on a ventilator. And he said, I began to ask God to help me. I was in isolation. No family, no pastor, no one could get to me. I felt so alone. Here I was, the sickest I'd ever been in my life, thinking that perhaps I might die and nobody could come to comfort me. None of my family, nobody could come to be where I was at. I was in there alone in isolation. He said, I began to ask God to help me. He said, God, help me. If you don't help me, I think I'm going to die. And he said, the next morning, a cleaner came into the room. Other cleaners had been there, but this one was different. It was the morning after he had prayed that night. And the man came in. He began to witness to me about God and how many lives he had seen God save in Nicaragua, or Nigeria, rather. And then he asked, he said, can I pray for you? And this house cleaner, he said he prayed and asked God to spare my life. And he said, that night, I began to turn around. Amen. I began to get better. And I began to start craving food. And he said, I started craving my favorite. Oh, I want you to listen to this. He said, I began to start craving my favorite potato chip. Pretty insignificant, potato chips. But listen what kind it was. It was a Tato Prawn Cocktail Crisp. You will not find them at Walmart. Who ever heard of such a thing? A Tato Prawn Cocktail Crisp. But that's what he was craving. That's what he wanted. And there in that hospital room, isolated, he said, oh God, I wish I had some of those. He said, I prayed, God, is it possible? Is it possible that you could get me some Tato Prom Cocktail Crisp and a Coke? That was his prayer. Not a new car, not a new house, not a new job, potato chips and a Coke. He said, the next morning, the same cleaner showed up with the bag and put it on his table. He said, and when he left the room, I opened up the bag, and in the bag was two oranges, a Coke, and a bag of Tato Prom Cocktail Crisp. You see, friends, even in our lowest moments, you are not forgotten. God didn't give him Doritos. God didn't give him Frito-Lays. Come on, somebody. He asked for whatever that is. Tato Prawn Cocktail. That's what he asked for. And that's what God gave him. Why? Because God wanted him to know, I care about you. You are not forgotten. In our lowest moments, when nobody can come around us, nobody can get near us, no family can comfort us, Brother Doug can't come to where we're at, in our lowest isolated moments, our God can still send us a bag of potato chips and a Coke, because he cares. Five sparrows for a half a cent, yet not one of them is forgotten by God. And while I was watching that video, I began to raise my hands and I began to cry and I began to thank God for his goodness to this man. I didn't even know who the man was, but I just began to worship God and say, God, thank you for touching that man. Thank you for being so real to that man in that moment when he thought he was dying. And while I was worshiping God, instantly my headache left. And I raised up, opened up my computer, and started studying, because he cares. Just think of it. We serve a God who created billions of stars, and yet he knows every star by name. A God so great, yet he cares for the littlest things of our life. He cares for us in our lowest moments when no one else can get to us. God can still send us Tato Prom Cocktail Crisp and a Coke. I read one time of a story, we're coming to a close, of a little girl who wanted ice cream for her birthday. Her parents were sharecroppers. They followed the crops, they followed the seasons, and they had little shanties that they would live in. This little girl, 7, turning 8, but it was her responsibility to watch her younger brother and sister while her mom and daddy worked in the field. And it was her birthday. And they said, what do you want for your birthday? And she said, I want ice cream for my birthday. Not an iPhone, iPad, iTouch, iThis, ice cream. And they said, you be good. You be good, and when we come in from working this afternoon, we'll go by the store, we'll get some ice, we'll make you ice cream for your birthday. And all day long, this little girl's heart was just racing, couldn't wait for that moment that she saw her mom and daddy coming, because she knew they was going to celebrate her birthday with ice cream. Towards evening, when the sun was setting, they come in from the field. She saw them coming. She run out on the porch. And when she ran out on the porch and she looked at them and they looked at her, she realized and they realized they'd forgot. She said, my heart was broke because all I wanted was ice cream. I said, my daddy, he said, honey, I'm so sorry. It was just a terrible day. We got busy. I'm so sorry. I forgot you. We'll go tomorrow. She said, I'll just forget it, she said. She said, I went running into the house. I fell into the bedroom and I shut the door and I was laying on the bed and I was crying, Jesus, all I wanted for my birthday was ice cream. That's all I wanted. And said, while I was crying, I heard a noise. I heard a commotion. Said, directly my daddy was knocking on the door. And he said, Sarah, get out here. She said, I said, leave me alone. You forgot my birthday. He said, Sarah, you've got to see this. And she said, my daddy opened up the door. He rushed into the room. He swept me off the bed and took me out on the porch. And when I got out on the porch, I seen what the commotion was. While I was in there crying, a storm came up and began to hail. And it held enough ice, oh God, that they collected the ice off the ground and got enough ice to make her some homemade ice cream for her birthday. God caused the storm to hail ice for a little girl, Brother Henry, who had watched her brothers and her sisters who wanted ice cream, Brother J.J. If he cares enough to give a little girl ice cream on her birthday, doesn't he care enough to give you whatever you have need of tonight? You are not forgotten. Can a woman forget her suckling child? That she should not have compassion on that child? Yes. The Bible said she may. We see it all the time. They put them in a dumpster. They drop them off. A woman can. But he said, I could never forget you. Isaiah 49:16 said it this way. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. And thy walls are continually before me. He said, I can never forget you. A mother may forget her suckling child, but I can never forget you because your names are engraved in the palms of my hands. Rome didn't use a Bic. They didn't use a Sharpie. They used rusted nails to engrave your name in his hands. They tell me that sheep, that when they're branded, when all the sheep are branded, that the shepherd of the sheep holds out his hand and they take that brand and brand the same brand in his hand. And he carries that mark in his hand to identify his sheep. So if someone tries to take one of his sheep, he can say, that's not yours, it's mine. How do you know it's yours? He holds out his hand. He's got the same brand as his sheep. They are mine. They belong to me. All that my Father hath given me will come, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Amen. The other day while we was burning the brush piles, I was telling you about it. It was a pine branch that I'd pitched up into the fire, and the end of it was sticking out, and I was thinking about this. And I just reached down to pick it up and throw it in the fire, but what I realized, that all the heat and the steam was coming out the end of it. And when I grabbed it up like this to throw it into the fire, it burnt right in the, you can see it right there. It burnt right into the palm of my hand, and I don't care to tell you, it hurt like something else. In just a few minutes, there was a big blister there. But you know what I found? After that branded into my hand, I was constantly looking at it, rubbing it, feeling of it, and I thought, that's right. I'm not in his pocket. I'm not on his shelf. I'm not in his bank vault. I'm in his hands. And every time he sees his hands, JJ, he sees you. He sees me. We are not forgotten. Every true believer is in the hand of God and can draw from his love and his power and is to receive full benefit of all that God is to the believer. What God gives the messenger and how he blesses and uses the messenger is an example to all believers of his goodness and his care to all members of his body. We're in his hands, brother, sister. Musicians, come this evening. Every time he sees his hands, he sees you. No matter what we feel, no matter what we face, no matter how much the storms are raging in our life, we are in his hands. We are not forgotten. He knows our name. He knows our outcome. He knows everything about us. You are not forgotten. I will never forget you. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Here a few years ago, I was over in Cottonwood preaching for Brother Chris Long up in Cottonwood. And I woke up that Saturday morning. I had to preach, and I had one of them demon headaches I was telling you about. I was so sick. Brother Dale Smith called me and said, "You want to get some coffee?" I said, "Brother Dale, I am so sick." I said, "I got to preach in just a little bit." I said, "My head is hurting so bad." I said, "Buddy, would you pray for me just a few minutes and come and knock at the door?" And it was Brother Dale. He handed me some coffee, and he prayed for me. And I went and preached, and the Lord helped me. When the service was over, the headache had almost gone away. You know how it is, Brother Doug. You're sick, you get to preach, and the anointing comes. But when the anointing began to leave, I felt the headache was coming back, but it wasn't as severe. I guess because I was sick, I got homesick. I missed Cheryl, and I missed the girls. And I wanted to go home. And I got in the car, and I was driving up 89A towards Flagstaff because they were having some fellowship up there, up through Sedona. I love Sedona. Beautiful, beautiful place. I told Brother Donnie, "You ever want to start a satellite church in Sedona? I'm your man." I just love those red hills. And I was driving up the road, and I'll be honest with you, if you'll allow me to be honest, I began to whine like a big baby. And I said, "God, do you even know who I am? Do you even know I'm out here, Lord? Am I doing any good? Am I helping anybody?" I said, "Maybe I should just go home and sit down." I was just whining and just a big baby. I didn't feel good. I was homesick. And I saw a sign that said scenic view 1 mile. And I thought, I would pull in and look at that. And I pulled in, and there was a cement bench there. And I got out and sat on that bench, and I began to talk to my Father again. And I said, "Lord, do you even know me? Am I doing any good, Lord? Maybe I should just go home." And when I got done praying, beside me on the bench was a silver coin. At first I thought it was in the bench, but when I touched it, it moved. And I picked the coin up. Just a little silver coin. And when I looked at it, it said this: "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." And I turned the coin over, and on the other side, it was Jeremiah 29:11. "I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord." And I sat there and I thought, I began to weep, that no matter how insignificant I may feel, he knows my name. And he knows your name tonight. You are not forgotten. Though 5 little birds may be sold for a half a cent, there's not a one of them but what God cares for and takes care of. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows the thoughts that you think. And you are, to our God tonight, more valuable than many sparrows. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He knows our name. Do you love him tonight? Brother, sing that. Can you sing that song for us? He knows my name. Amen. Can we just worship him just for a few minutes? Aren't you glad tonight that he cares enough to give a whiny preacher just a little bit of inspiration, just a little silver coin to carry in his pocket?
Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, hallelujah. And he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, for he knows my name. Counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, he made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. And he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, for he knows my name. Yes, he does. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life. But I know in whom I have believed. Oh, and he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. Oh, he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, for he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, and he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, for he knows my name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lord,
New Year's Eve, I was at Brother Mike Walls up in Virginia, just a precious brother. There's a brother up there in his late 30s, I guess it was, fell into a coma mysteriously, and they rushed him to the hospital. They told his wife she was real heavy with child, and they told his wife he's going to die. Said he'll never come out of the coma. Said he was all swell, his body was all swelled up. They didn't even know what was wrong with the man. And they wanted to cut his ring off so that she would be able to keep her husband's ring. And she said, don't you touch his ring. He leave it right on his finger. And we was preaching up there New Year's Eve. And while we were preaching, she was streaming the service. And she said all at once she felt compelled to call the hospital, because she said, I begin to receive what was being preached, and I begin to call upon God for the healing of my husband, and I begin to believe that God could do the impossible. And she said, something came over me, called the hospital. And she said, I called the hospital. And the nurse said, oh, she said she was just praising God. She was so excited. She said, I was just fixing to call you. Your husband has woke up. Yeah. On Saturday, she went into, her husband was still in the hospital, but he had woke up. On Saturday, she went into labor. Had the little baby girl. They took her to the same hospital. She had the little girl, and they rode her husband down in a wheelchair to see his newborn baby. And the other day, Brother Mike sent me a picture of him coming home from the hospital. Because he cares. He cares. May the Lord bless you. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's so easy to brag on a God as great as you are. For there is no God like you. And Lord, we thank you, Father God, the world may not know who we are. The mayor may not be concerned with us, Lord. But you care so much. You care to give a little girl ice cream. You care to give a man feeling isolated and alone his favorite potato chip. Oh God, you care enough for us that when we're in our lowest moments, you send just a little something to lift us up, to tell us, I care for you. And God, as we come to the close of these meetings, we want to thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to gather here this evening. Lord, in the midst of this pandemic and everyone and all the things that are happening, thank you, Lord, that we can come together and worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I pray tonight that everyone within this building, no matter what they're going through with, no matter what they're facing, maybe it's marital trouble, financial trouble, spiritual trouble, mental trouble, physical trouble, nerves, whatever it would be, you're mindful of it tonight, Lord. You care about every aspect of our lives. You cared so much you fed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. That's just how much you care. And Lord, tonight, Father, we want to thank you for caring for us, Lord. And Lord, I ask you tonight that my brother and my sister that are here, Lord, I've seen the tears in some of their eyes. I know you spoke to their heart tonight. And Lord, I want to ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, by the same anointing that raised my daughter up and gave her back to me, may that same anointing move upon my brother and my sister tonight. That whatever their need would be, no matter how lonely they would feel, how insecure they would feel, how hurt they would feel, how sick, depressed, whatever it would be, Father, may you just touch them tonight. May you just pass right by where they're sitting and touch them, Lord, and let them know, I care for you. I know your name. I know everything about you. It's going to be all right. I'm going to take care of you. No man, all that my Father hath given me will come. And no man, no situation, no circumstance, nothing will pluck you out of my hand. Your names are engraved in the palms of my hand. And I will never, ever, ever, never, ever forget you. God, may they realize that tonight. And Lord, may they do as Peter said. That fear, that anxiety, that uncertainty, that nervousness, may they just give it to you tonight, Lord. May they just lay it at your feet and walk out free, knowing my daddy tonight, he's got it all in control. Nothing can happen to me but what he and his wisdom would allow to come into my life. I'm in the center of his will. I'm just as happy as I can be. Grant it tonight, Lord, I pray. Father, if there be some here that's backslid on you, maybe they've lost their joy. Maybe they feel like you don't love them, God, and they've become calloused or indifferent. But may they see tonight, Lord, through this little broke up message and few examples, may they see just how much you care for them, Lord. And Father, wherever they're at in their life, may they right now, Lord, just surrender that to you. And may they come back to the fold, Lord. May they just turn themselves in tonight. May they just get rid of that complex, that hurt feeling, that wall that they've put up. May they just tear it down tonight and let you in, Lord. Oh, God, wrap your arms around them like that leopard, Lord, and let them know that no matter how low they are, no matter what they've done, you still care for them, Lord. Grant it tonight, Father. Someone here that don't know you, maybe they've never accepted this unconditional love. May they realize tonight that if they was the only person lost, you would have went to Calvary to secure their salvation. That's just how much you love them. Oh God, grant it tonight, fathers. We come to the end of these meetings. I give Brother Baker and this congregation into your hands. Oh Lord, may you use them in a great way. May there be so much love among them, Lord, that they weep and cry when they have to leave each other's company. God, may we grow together in spirit and in truth and the knowledge of the truth until that day, Lord, that you catch us all away. For you said, where I am, there will you be also. Until then, Lord, may we go about our business knowing that you know our name and that you care tonight. Is that the way you feel, friends? Then why don't you just slip your hands up to him? Why don't you just tell him tonight how much you love him? Why don't you just tell him tonight how grateful you are that he cares for you in your own way? Just slip your hands up and speak to him. Father, we love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for caring for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for knowing my name tonight. How we love you, Lord. Counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. Oh, can we stand to our feet? He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. Don't know what tomorrow may bring.